Chapter 16. For a place so crowded, the tavern was oddly subdued. The musician in the corner, though playing only softly on his lute, could easily be heard over the combined voices of the patrons. As for the serving girls, they moved silently from table to table with joyless eyes and rigid postures. Marcus shifted uncomfortably in his seat. He felt exposed and vulnerable here, and for good reason. He was clearly an outsider, and being so deep within Kaitain meant that should he be discovered by the enemy, his chances of escape would rate somewhere between very difficult and impossible. There were Urazi agents close by, but they would be of little use to him. Most were simply sources of information, totally unaware of the help they provided. Only two were actual members of the Order, and to risk exposing them would not be a choice he would want to make. A few soldiers, usually low-level officers, frequented this establishment. Judging from the snippets of conversation Marcus had overheard, he considered most of them not too bright. They talked primarily about the war and how fortunate they felt not to have been sent west with the army. Apparently, most of the garrisons were now all but empty of anyone able to fight. Only a small contingent of men had been left behind in each one to look after things. That might be so, but despite their lack of numbers, Marcus could not help but notice how the people still lived in fear of them. The result of generations of oppression, he supposed. It made him wonder what they would do after Shinzan was gone. Would their spirits recover? Or would they remain like cowed animals, born in a cage and afraid to leave even when the door was flung wide and freedom awaited? The hour was growing late, causing Marcus to fear that this entire journey had been for nothing. Though the message that had brought him here was vague, what it suggested was far too enticing to ignore. Estella had agreed wholeheartedly that it should be investigated, but protested when he said he would go himself. She had wanted to send three of their best people. Marcus had remained stubborn, though, consistently refusing to hand something of such extreme importance over to anyone else. The only thing that had almost stopped him was the fact that he had lied to Lailenora. Had she known the truth, she would never have allowed him to come this close to the thin border separating Kaitain from the wastes. From where he was now, a traveller need only continue for a few more days, and they would find themselves within sight of the Imperial Palace itself. The tavern door swung open, allowing a pair of men to stumble drunkenly inside. Just behind them came a third man wearing a pendant on his chest, displaying the Imperial crest. He halted a pace inside the doorway to survey the room. Marcus tensed, ready to take flight. However, upon spotting him, the man simply strode over and took a seat at the table. They sat in silence until the barmaid brought over a mug of ale for the newcomer. She did not receive any payment. Soldiers and officials never paid. To ask could get you a beating, or far worse. The man stared down at his drink for several seconds before speaking. "I'm glad you've come. I was afraid you wouldn't."
"Are you the person who sent the message?" asked Marcus.
"I ensured that it was passed to the Urazi, but it was my uncle who sent it."
"And who is your uncle?"
"I can't tell you that." Marcus scrutinized the man. He was obviously very nervous.
"So tell me who you are."
He hesitated for a time.
"You can call me Guri. And before you ask, that's not my real name."
Marcus frowned.
"If I am to act on the information you sent, I must know who I'm dealing with. What you are suggesting is dangerous."
This was a massive understatement. In truth, it was far more like a suicide mission. "All I can tell you is that he is close to the Emperor."
"How close?"
"Close enough."
"That doesn't help much."
Marcus leaned back and stared into Guri's eyes. The man wasn't lying. That much was obvious. And if his uncle genuinely could achieve what he claimed, all that mattered on his own part was waiting for the right moment to strike. He had gone over everything in detail with Estella. She had been the one who had suggested a way to do it, and had even provided what he would need from the vaults. Only one question remained. Even if he could get close enough, would he have the time? If Shinzan saw it coming, it would be over for him in an instant. But if it worked... Guri spoke, breaking into these thoughts. "I'm taking a huge risk by talking to you," he said. "So either trust me or don't. Either way, once this conversation is over, you are on your own, and you can tell my uncle the same thing."
"If you are so afraid, why help him at all?"
"Because I owe him my life. But as far as I'm concerned, the debt is paid."
"You haven't told me yet how I'm to get there," Marcus pointed out.
From his pocket, Guri produced a scrap of paper, which he pushed across the table. "Everything you need to know is written here, but you must leave tonight. If you don't, you'll be caught for sure." Marcus read the paper, and instantly his heart sank.
"Are you insane? This will never work."
"Unless you can think of something else, it's the only way," Guri insisted. He pushed back his chair. "I wish you luck. I really do." Without another word, he rose and hurried away, his drink left untouched. Marcus made no attempt to stop him. Even if he'd wanted to, bringing any kind of attention to himself was the last thing he could risk right now. Instead, he reread the instructions, at the same time fingering a small pendant tucked beneath his shirt.
"If this doesn't kill me, then Lilanora surely will," he muttered almost silently.
At this moment, he was severely tempted to walk away and forget the whole thing, even though in his heart he knew he couldn't. A chance like this would never come again. Not only had he been presented with the opportunity of possibly saving Ethan's life, but also the lives of everyone in Lumnia. He finished his ale and exited the tavern. After pausing briefly to retrieve a few things from the inn where he'd been staying, he made his way north through the empty streets until arriving at a large storage building on the outskirts of town. Four loaded wagons were waiting at the front, all filled with provisions and various other goods destined for the city of Noel. The drivers were lazing alongside the lead wagon, waiting for the quartermaster to finish checking his list. Ducking around a near corner, Marcus crept along a narrow alley leading to the back entrance. Just as the instructions had indicated, only a single sentry was guarding the door. He drew his dagger. From where he was standing, the soldier's back was facing him. Perfect. Swift and deadly as ever, he spanned the distance between them in a flash and thrust the blade into the man's neck, simultaneously covering his mouth to stifle any cry of alarm. After gently easing open the door, he carried the body a few feet inside and placed it beside a stack of crates. He could hear the loud mutterings of the quartermaster at the far end of the building as he checked off his list. Motionless and silent as a statue, Marcus stayed with the sentry's body until he heard the man go outside through the front door. Now was his opportunity to get into a better position. Threading his way through numerous stacks of boxes, he found a dark corner behind some sacks near the main loading bay. An oil lamp atop a rickety wooden desk a few yards away was the only illumination. A gloomy place to work, Marcus found himself thinking. He could hear the men outside talking, some with angry, raised voices. A few minutes later there was the sound of departing wagons, followed by the quartermaster spitting curses under his breath. He crossed over to his desk and began rifling through a stack of papers. Marcus tensed, ready to leap out and strike, only to stop himself when the man abruptly ceased his rifling and turned toward the rear door.
"Marlowe," he shouted, "get yourself in here. I've got a job for you."
After a few seconds, he slapped the desktop impatiently.
"Where is that bloody idiot?"
Grumbling with irritation, he picked up the oil lamp and set off toward the rear. Marcus waited until he had passed his position, before falling in silently behind him. They were well on the way to the rear door before the lamp's weak glow picked out the sentry's body. The quartermaster froze.
"What the?"
That was as far as he got. This time Marcus didn't bother to draw his dagger. Like a striking snake, his powerful arm shot out and wrapped around the man's neck. With his hold firmly in place, all it took then was one clean jerk. A sharp snap told him that the deed was done. All over in less than 3 seconds. The lamp that had fallen from the quartermaster's hand rolled dangerously close to a stack of crates containing wool blankets. A perfect way to cover all trace of his visit, Marcus decided on the spot. He searched his victim until finding what he had come for, a large iron key with the Raven of the Empire etched at the top. Shoving this into his pocket, he returned to the body of the dead soldier and dragged him next to the quartermaster. Using the paper Guri had given him, he then set about lighting several small fires before smashing the lamp onto the pile of wooden crates. Marcus allowed a smile to form. The air here was dry and the timbers old. There would be no evidence of how these men had died. It would look like an accident. Any trace of murder would be extremely difficult to detect. Not that he imagined anyone would bother to look very hard anyway. He left through the back and followed the road just inside the tree line. It took only a few minutes of running to catch up with the single file of heavily loaded, slow-moving wagons. By now, the smoke from the fire was already visible in the light of the setting sun. Not that the men driving would be able to see much of this, even if they did happen to look back. Not with the high boarding directly behind them to prevent their loads from sliding forward. Still staying within the tree line, Marcus followed the wagons until it was fully dark. Now was the time to make his move. Crouching low and with silent steps, he positioned himself directly behind the rear wagon. This would be the tricky part. The top edge of the tailgate was just high enough to force him into making a jump, while a canvas tarp covering the highest part of the load had left only a narrow gap in which to squeeze through. He heard the next wagon ahead jostle and squeak as it ran over a pothole in the road. Marcus readied himself to act. The moment his wagon hit the same hole, he made a leap for the gap. The erratic swaying almost made him miss, but his fingers just managed to grab a tenuous hold on the tailgate's edge. After strengthening his grip, he swung his legs up and under the tarp. A moment later, he had wriggled the rest of his body through and was out of sight. With no light and very little room to move, he felt his way around while searching for a good place to hide. Eventually, he found a half-empty crate of cloth with just enough space to curl up inside. He settled there and temporarily tried to put what lay ahead out of his mind. Though the journey would only take a short 2 days, he knew it would feel like an eternity. It only took a day for his legs and back to start feeling the effects of his confinement. Were he to be discovered while in this condition, he wondered if he would be able to move well enough to mount a proper defense. No point worrying over it, he told himself. Likely he would be finding himself in far more trouble than dealing with a few wagon drivers. Though he'd performed similar feats of endurance in order to eliminate a target before, he had not done so in many years. At this moment, the resilience of youth was something he was missing quite badly. A thought that hadn't occurred to him in years developed. He recalled his father groaning loudly while dropping into his chair at the end of a hard day.
"Even the statue of David is getting old, I suppose," he would say. "Why should I be any different?"
As the trip wore on, more memories continued to flood in, mostly about people and places he had not seen since his youth. It served to keep his mind off the growing ache in his joints, not to mention help control his bladder. Though he was taking only small sips of water to fight off dehydration, there were limits as to how long he could control himself. The foul air seeping into the wagon told him when they had crossed into the wastes. He could hear the driver frequently complaining to himself about his dislike of the desert, the wastes, and for his job of delivering supplies to the palace. Marcus had heard many stories about Noel, the city of nightmares. Up until now, he'd avoided going there himself, but knew people who had. Apparently, it was a city of much outer beauty, though with a foul darkness living just beneath the surface. Reports had reached the Urazi just before he'd set off on his mission that the city's inhabitants had all been slaughtered. How many people had lived there, he wondered. 10,000? More? All killed on a whim. Why the Emperor would do this had caused much speculation. Marcus was convinced it must have something to do with his inevitable fight with Ethan. He had almost reached the point where he was prepared to risk leaving his hiding place to stretch his limbs, if only for a brief moment, when he heard the driver rambling on about the trip being nearly over. An hour later they stopped, and he felt a heavy jostling as the horses were detached. This was soon followed by a succession of heavy grunts as the wagon was pushed backwards for several yards. Finally, a few minutes later, there was a loud boom of closing doors. After that, there was complete silence. He waited for a few minutes before attempting to rise. His legs felt totally numb, and his back unwilling to straighten. At first, all he could do was push open the crate's lid and move inch by painful inch until sitting upright. Once in this position, he began massaging his legs. Though the pain was quite intense for a time, he sighed with relief as normal circulation was restored. Now able to move, he climbed out of the wagon. After relieving his bladder, which by now was near to bursting, and allowing his eyes to adjust, he tried to gauge his surroundings. Enough light was filtering in through gaps around the massive double doors for him to see that he was inside a large holding area, roughly 100 feet across. All four wagons had been lined up side by side to await unloading. He felt for the iron key in his pocket, and, satisfied it was still safely there, eased his way to the far right corner. Here he saw a wooden door with a chair placed just off to the left. This was where the instructions had told him to go. The key fit the lock perfectly. Beyond was a room piled high with boxes and various items of value. Marcus was familiar with such places. This was where a quartermaster would hide the goods he intended to keep for himself, or perhaps sell for some extra coin. One of the boxes was stuffed full with bits of paperwork from past deliveries. It was usually easy enough to divert a few pages of this amongst the chaos of a large consignment. A clever quartermaster could make himself quite a lot of extra gold if he was careful and didn't get too greedy. He locked the door behind him and settled down beside a large box to wait. For how long, he didn't know. The instructions had not said. In the dark, what with the air being so stale and hot, Marcus struggled to keep his eyes open. Having had only a few fitful short naps during his long journey, almost inevitably, he did soon begin slipping in and out of consciousness. The clack of the lock snapped him to attention. He had no idea how long he'd been dozing. It could have been hours. It could have been minutes. The door opened, and he saw the shadow of a man standing in the doorway. He was holding a lamp turned down to the bare minimum.
"Are you in here?"
the man whispered.
"I'm here," Marcus replied,
now fully alert. The newcomer breathed a sigh of relief.
"Thank the spirits."
He stepped inside and closed the door behind him.
"Who are you?"
asked Marcus.
"My name is Vralik," he replied. "I do not need to know yours. I need only to know that you have a way to kill him."
"That all depends," Marcus said.
"On what?"
"On how close you can get me."
Marcus fingered the pendant, still secure around his neck.
"And how much you are willing to risk."
Vralik locked eyes with him.
"I can get you close enough. As for what I'll risk, I have nothing left to lose other than my life. And after what I have seen and done, I place no value on that whatsoever."
"Then we have a chance," Marcus told him. "A slim chance, but it's better than nothing."